You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today on this Friday. Praise God and thank God it is Friday. Heading into the weekend, no greater thing to do heading into the weekend than get the Word of God in you. That's what we're going to do here. That's what we do on this program. This is WGOD. After 20-some-odd years in radio, as many of you know, boy, I would just love to own my own radio station and have the call letters WGOD. Because God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. Now, his word today is going to come through the book of Acts, chapter 1, and it's going to start with how they chose a replacement for Judas when he died, or I should say, when he killed himself. This was their requirement. We read in Acts chapter 1, verse 21, "Therefore, of all these men who have accompanied us, all the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." Key word in the book of Acts, eyewitness. It's what made an apostle an apostle. You had to know, figuratively speaking, literally speaking, you had to know the color of Jesus' eyes to be an apostle. Otherwise, you're not. You can't. That's why there's no instructions in the Bible other than this one instance on how to choose an apostle, because according to John chapter 15, verse 16, the Lord Jesus is the one who chooses the apostles. This was the only exception. When they prayed and cast lots, we even read in the book of Proverbs that we might cast lots, but the decisions that come from the Lord. So that's where we're starting. We're also going to look at the day of Pentecost. I think that's what I've entitled this sermon, the day of Pentecost. This will wrap up here on Monday. Sunday, we will be in also chapter 2. We're going to pick it up with Peter's instructions when he said, when they asked him, "What shall we do?" Peter looked at him and pointed a finger, and it says, "You guys killed the Lord Jesus Christ." And it said they were cut to the heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter's answer, "Repent, be baptized." That's where we're going to pick it up this Sunday. And we're going to look at really the birth of the church, and more on that on Sunday, more on that on the radio next week. We would love to see you on Sunday morning, 10:30. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. If you're new to the area, if you're tired of playing church, if your pastor is not preaching out of the Word of God, if you don't ever open up your Bible at your church except for when they take up the offering, then I invite you to attend one of our services. You know what to expect if you listen into this program, and that's where we will be. That's where we are every week. So you are invited. We would love to see you. Okay, this is part one now, the day of Pentecost. Okay, now we're off to an excellent start here in the book of Acts, aren't we? So we started off looking with infallible proofs 2 weeks ago. Now, before we got started, we learned that having the correct view of the book of Acts is vital. Acts is a historical book. The written account of the birth of the church. Because if you don't have the correct understanding, then you'll start to call yourself an apostle and you'll start selling handkerchiefs at camp meetings. And we can't have any of that. Last week, we looked at the death of Judas Iscariot.
We trace what happened to him by piecing together his story through the Gospels. That was last week, the demise of Judas. Last week I was trying to make the point that what happened to Judas can happen to any one of us if we don't have safeguards in place. You know, speaking of safeguards, the other day, that young girl that was just here, Evelyn, what was it, Thursday or Friday, I hear a knock on my door. Evelyn lives down the street from me. Knocks on my door. Now, how old is Evelyn? Six? 7 years old, knocks on my door, and she says, "Pastor Paul, I want to be baptized." So I said, "Have a seat over here. Let's talk a little bit, see if she understood what it was." And then I told her what my favorite verse is. "Whoever confesses me before men," which is what we do in the water, "him I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven." And Evelyn proceeded to say to me, "Do you know what my favorite verse is?" And I said, "No, what? Jesus wept, God is love." No offense toward her. She says, "No, 1 Corinthians 15:33. And I went, I said, "Okay, what would that be?" She says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good morals." She about knocked me off my seat when I heard that. She's 7 years old. I'm trying to get the 57s and 67-year-olds to get a grasp of that. That's one of the safeguards that we looked at last week. How can I ensure this doesn't happen to me? At 7 years old, she got it. May we all get that as well. That was the last thing we looked at, is how we can build safeguards in our lives to ensure that what happened to Judas doesn't happen to us, because Jesus said to the church of Jesus Christ, he said, "Be careful, don't let anyone steal your crown." You got a real enemy who is out here to seek to steal and kill and destroy. And we have to be proactive to make sure what happened to Judas, it doesn't happen to us. Even Judas himself, when Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me," even Judas asked, he said, "Is it I? Am I going to be the one to do this?" Funny, would you say that? They all asked that except for the one person who did it, and that was Peter, who said, "You guys might do that, but not me. I would never do that. I would never deny Jesus. Not me. I've been a Christian too long. I could never do that." Safeguards. Paul said, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed." That is, better be careful lest he fall. What happened to Judas can happen to any one of us, so got to be careful. All right, now today, after the death of Judas, the early leaders of the church are going to pick a replacement for him. We're in Acts chapter 1. Let's pick it up in verse 21. Acts 1:21. And I put my first person to sleep already. You know what? For that baby, I will not use this today. I promise. I think someone bought it for me. My love of gavels. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Key to have the right understanding of the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a historical book, never to be duplicated again. And if it could be duplicated again, then you need to sell everything that you have and lay it at the feet of an apostle if you can find one. We're going to see how they found a replacement, because certain things are required to be an apostle. Let's read what the Bible says about it. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. How are we going to pick a replacement for Judas? Okay? "Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the day that he was taken up from us, one of us must become a witness with us of his resurrection." Now, who can fit that bill today? One of us must be an eyewitness of his resurrection. So they proposed two. I'm in verse 23. Joseph, who's called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, so that he might go to his own place." And his own place would be Hades and eternal doom. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. Boy, I don't recommend that today, to roll dice. You know, I've heard of people before, you know, they tell me, "Well, like any time I need a direction, I just open up my Bible, I go like this, and I read what it says." So I heard about the one guy who did that once. He opened up the Bible and he did that, and it said, "And Judas went and hung himself." So then they said, "It's got to be something else." So they turn a couple pages, close their eyes, point it down, and Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Don't do it that way. Acts was a historical book. Don't do things that way. Don't roll dice to find out if you're going to go to church today, right? Right. So they cast their lots. So I guess that's like the old figure of speech, right? The short end of the stick, right? They cast their lots. The lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. So besides praying about it, the one requirement to be an apostle, since Jesus was no longer on the earth to designate one. Remember, we read in John 15:16, he says, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you, and I ordained you." That's why there's no instructions in the Bible on how to choose an apostle, because he chose the, this is the only exception to that. But the one requirement to be an apostle was they had to be an eyewitness of the risen Savior after he had died. Now, the Apostle Paul would write this 24 years later. He said, "Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus Christ?" That's 1 Corinthians 9:1. So here is more evidence that the book of Acts is a historical book. You know, churches that get this wrong still have people who claim to be apostles. But you've missed it. You can't duplicate that time that we're studying here. We're looking for Jesus' return now, not the birth of the church. The Apostle Paul showed us truly what an apostle looked like. Let me describe him to you. And let me read 1 Corinthians 4, verse 9. The apostle says, "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last." All right, I'm in 1 Corinthians 4, 9 through 13. I see a couple people turning there. Store this one away in your Bible. Next time you see someone on TV ask you for a $1,000 seed and says that he's an apostle, this is what an apostle looked like. "For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, as last, as men condemned to death. We have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men." Verse 10, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise." Catch the sarcasm there. "You are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong." Exclamation point. "You are distinguished, but we are dishonored." Another exclamation point. "And to this hour, we both hunger and thirst. We're poorly clothed. We're beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things until now." When my mother used to force me to do the dishes, she gave me one of them things. It was a scouring pad, right? Like something you use to get all the muck off of a frying pan that you had turned up too high and the stuff went. That is what an apostle looked like. If you could see one today, I bet you they'd have a bashed in head. Because that's how they were treated and mistreated. Hungry, thirsty, wearing rags, if wearing anything at all. Half the time he was naked because he didn't have any clothes. Persecuted, scorned, executed. And that's the biblical account of an apostle. Don't let anybody's pride mislead you. Don't let anybody's pride mislead you. Where you want to call yourself an apostle? In my travels, having spent 30 years in Christian radio, some professing Christians have invented a new office in the church. They call it a high apostle, which I call, to steal a line from Jackie Gleason, a grand, high, exalted, mystic ruler. Or from the great theologian Fred Flintstone, the grand poobah. Now let's move on to chapter 2. Let's witness what happened on the day of Pentecost. Look, if you go to a church and if a person calls himself an apostle, I suggest you go somewhere else. I mean, it is what it is. Because the Bible instructs you, if you think you're still living in that time, that you need to sell your house, you need to sell your business, and you need to sell everything that you own, and you need to give it to that person. And don't lie about it either, because when we get to chapter 5, we're going to find out what happens when you lie to the pastor there and said, yep. And then they drop stone cold dead on the ground. Now, you laugh under your breath and you say to that's preposterous. That could not happen today. Right. Acts is a historical book, though don't try that at home. We read sometimes in the Bible, for this reason, many people are sick and many sleep. That's a euphemism for what? Death. Not discerning the Lord's body. Better be careful. Okay. Acts chapter 2. Let's witness what happened on the day of Pentecost. Now remember, Jesus was killed on Passover. Pentecost means 50 days later. Jesus was seen for 40 days after his resurrection. And he told them to wait for 10 more days, wait for the dynamite, dunamis, the arrival of the Holy Spirit, to start his ongoing ministry. Now Jesus said this prior to this. John 16 says, as a matter of fact, hold a finger here and turn with me back one book to the Gospel of John, chapters 16, verse 7. We'll be right back to where we were. Let's look at the arrival of the Holy Spirit a little bit. Let's look at what Jesus said was going to happen, what the Holy Spirit was going to do when he got here. Okay, I'm in John chapter 16, verse 7. The Lord Jesus speaking, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. But if I do not go away, the helper, now that's, the King James says, comforter. The Greek word parakletos, it's Holy Spirit. That means called alongside. That's a proper name for the Holy Spirit, translated as the comforter. Or helper, if you notice, there's a capital H there, if you have a New King James. It's a proper name for the Holy Spirit of God. Paraclete. It's funny, that's also the name for a defense attorney. Paraclete. It's also a proper name for Jesus. I think that's 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Now, we have a paraclete with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's our defense attorney. word means to be called in alongside of. When you go up and you got a case, you call your defense attorney, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he defends you, and he's never lost a case, by golly. Don't defend yourself like that guy that tried to kill Trump. Look what happened to him. Okay. It is to your advantage I go away. But if I do not go away, then the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, then I will send him to you. Notice, please, that their ministries never take place on earth at the same time. He said, if I do not go away, then the Holy Spirit will not come. He continues, verse 8, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me, sin, singular. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. That is, you didn't believe me when I was here. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. That would be the devil, the only one that's been judged already. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. And he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And praise God, he's going to carry out the same mission to you today as well. He will glorify the Son to you. He will glorify the Son of God in you. He will tell you things that come from the Son. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He is going to impart things to you that come directly from the Son of God and directly to you. And he will tell you things to come. Also, please notice this ministry of the Holy Spirit. Besides convicting of sins, the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son of God. Never forget that. A different spirit glorifies himself. The Holy Spirit glorifies the Son. That's how you know sometimes when you see crazy things out here, the people worshiping who maybe that they shouldn't, even Christians sometimes. Look, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to glorify the Son of God. Okay, here we go. The day of Pentecost, chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there's that word pleroma again, fullness. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Interesting to see that they were able to see God's Spirit. You notice that? I read this commentary. The coming of the Spirit involved a sound to hear, a sight to see, and a miracle to experience. The sound, which was from heaven and filled the whole house, was like a rushing mighty wind. Wind is one of several fluid types of the Holy Spirit, like oil, fire, water. And speaking of his sovereign, unpredictable movements. Like Jesus said, you don't know where he's coming from. You don't, it's like the sound, you don't know, you can't see the wind. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. The sight to see was divided tongues as of fire resting on each one of the disciples. It does not say that they were tongues of fire, but tongues as of fire. The miracle to experience connected with Pentecost was the filling of the Holy Spirit, followed by the speaking with other tongues. Now, as we move on here, we're going to run into two different Greek words, meaning the same thing for the most part, the word glossa and the word dialectos, languages, and obviously the dialects. Verse 5, so there was dwelling in Jerusalem the Jews, the devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused, because everyone heard them speaking in his own dialectos, their own dialect, in their own language. All right, now, look here for a minute. The Bible has just interpreted the Bible for you. When the 120 spoke with other tongues, the others heard them speaking in their own language. This was the spiritual gift of tongues. And also, may I say, that anyone at any time may possess this spiritual gift. You don't see it here so much anymore, but I've read and have heard about people on the other side of the world that hear the gospel for the first time and they speak in tongues. It's in the Bible, so why not? But understand what the gift of speaking in tongues is. It's speaking in another language that someone nearby you is able to hear that in his own tongue and understand. And the end result, they glorify the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's always to glorify God. Always. Then they were all amazed. This is verse 7. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak the Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? Others were mocking and they said, yeah, these guys are drunk. Right? They're full of new wine, they said. So no one understand what the spiritual gift of tongues was and is in places that are new to the faith. Speaking in another language, which in turn caused people to glorify God. And not the person that was doing the speaking, but the Almighty God that was doing the supernatural work. Amen to that? Everyone understand that? Spiritual gifts are always, 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 always for other people's edification and to bring glory to God, not to oneself. Always.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.